Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchatapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 22. Baharite,
Baharite,
Yite,
Nayane,
Narnam, Lingani, Vishno, Na, Nirikshita, Ye, Hadau, Narinam, Tau, Dhruma Janma, Bajau, Kshetrani,
Na,
Anuradhita,
Hare,
Yau, Barhaite, Te, Naine, Naranam,
Barhaite,
Lingani, Vishnurna, Narikshito, Ye,
Lingani, Vishnurna, Narikshito,
Padonrinam tau juma janma bhajao Kshetrani nanu rajato harir diyao Bahai te te naine naranam Lingani vishnur nanarikshito ye
Lingani vishnur nanarikshito ye
Padavri nam tau druma janma bhajao Kshetrani nanu rajato harir nao Sitam Buddha Sundarangam Kandap Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Sovam Govindam Adi Purusham Namaham Bhujami.
He took peacock feather.
Yes, peacock feather, pahara. And ayite means like. Adayite. So it was paharite. Like plumes of a peacock feather. A little louder. Try it again. Varhayate. Like plumes of a peacock feather.
Like plumes of a peacock feather.
Actually, it's like plumes of a peacock.
Like plumes of a peacock.
Te.
Those.
Nayane.
Nayane.
Eyes.
Naranam.
Naranam.
Of men.
Lingani.
Lingani.
Forms.
Vishnu.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Na.
Na.
Does not.
Does not.
Nirikshita.
Nirikshita.
Look upon.
Look upon.
Yea. All such.
All such.
Padao.
Padao.
Legs.
Legs.
Nirina.
Nirina.
Of men.
Of men.
Tao.
Tao.
Those. Dhruma Janma.
Dhruma Janma.
Being born of the tree.
Being born of the tree.
Bajao.
Bajao.
Like that. Kshetrani, holy places. Na, never. Anuvrajita, goes after. Hare, of the Lord. Yao,
which?
Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, His forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places, for the Lord is remembered, are considered to be like tree trunks. Purport. Especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu, forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sitaram, especially, or any other form of the Lord like Nrisingha, Varaha, Gornitai, Matsya, Kurma, Shalagram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu like Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudev, Narayan, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Arjunavidhi. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning, 4 a.m., till night, 10 p.m., by performing Mangala Arati, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Shingara, Boja, Vaikali, Sandhya Artik, Pata, Boga, Night, Shana, Shayana Artik, etc. What's Niranjana? Same about Niranjana. What's that?
I think that's called Vashloka.
Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householder to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the Arjuna process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge, and that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo-spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of the spiritual master One of the verses in that description reads, Shri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana Shringar Tanman Diramajanado Yuktasya Bhaktams Shani Unjatopi Vande Guru Shri Charanaravinda. Shri Vigraha is Archa, or the worshipful form of the Lord, and the disciples should engage in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringar, by properly decorating and dressing, proper decoration and dressing, as well as by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. What about television? If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated, sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. People should visit holy places like Vrindavan, where such temples and worship of the deity are specifically maintained. Formerly, all rich men, like kings and rich merchants, constructed such temples under the direction of expert devotees of the Lord, like the six Goswamis, and it is the duty of the common man to take advantage of these temples and festivals observed in the holy places of pilgrimage by following the footsteps of great devotees. Anuraja. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in mind. But one must go to such temples and sanctified places immortalized by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and be guided by proper men who know the science. This is called Anuraja. Anu means to follow. It is therefore best to follow the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, even in visiting temples and the holy places of pilgrimage. One who does not move in that way is as good as a standing tree condemned by the Lord not to move. The moving tendency of the human being is misused by visiting places for sightseeing. The best purpose of such traveling tendencies could be fulfilled by visiting the holy places established by great acharyas, and thereby not being misled by atheistic propaganda of money-making men who have no knowledge of spiritual matters. Parhari te te naine naranam lingani vishnurna rikshatoye padonrinam tau dhruma janma bhajau shetrani nanu rajato harayau. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his forms, names, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. Mama Vishnu Vigaya Krishna Prasthaya Vidaya Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanavane Namaste Sarasvatana Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatiya Deva Siddharane. Samaraj Ambrish Savayana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunan Uvardhane Karo Harir Mandir Marjana Adishu Shuta Shutra Krashuta Satkatoraye. So he first of all fixed his mind upon the lotus feet of Krishna and gave his
I think it's in the very beginning of the introduction.
No. So So Savaya Krishna Padara Vindayo Vicham Sivai Kunta Gunarnavarnane. Maharaj Ambarish, he fixes his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna. And then he Savaya Krishna Padara Vindayo Vicham Sivai Kunta. Then he describes in words the wonderful pastimes of the personality of Godhead. Gunarnavarnane. Karaharer Mandara Marjanardishu. He uses two hands to cleanse the temple of the Lord. And he uses his ears in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And also it mentions that his eyes were fixed upon the forms of the personality of Godhead. No, it's at the beginning. It's not at the end. It's in one of the first chapters. It's quoted as a verse in one of the first chapters. Maybe in.
So it was Mamana Bhava Madhvaka. Not in the 18th.
No, it's in one of the first ones. It's quoted as a. Wait, the first book there? Mukundalingalayam Darshane Drusho. So Mukundalingalayam Darshana. And seeing the deities and temples and holy dhams of Mukunda. Tadvritya Gatra Sparshananga Sangamam. He uses tongue in tasting the tulsi leaves offered to Krishna. Granam Chutat Pada Sharodara Saurave. He uses nose in smelling the flowers offered to Krishna. Srimatilasya Rasanam Tadarpite. Oh, there he tasted, and tasting the Lord's prasadam. He sensed the smell and smelling the fragrance of tulsi offered to the Lord, and gave his tongue and tasted the Lord's prasadam. Padauharer Kshetra Padaranu Sarpane. He engaged his legs and walked into the temple and holy place of the Lord. Shirori Shikesha Pada Bivandane. His head and bowing down before the Lord and all his desires. Kamam Tadasye Atukamya Kamiya. Itotama shloka yata shraya rati. And all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification, engaged all senses in devotional service and various engagements related to the Lord. This is a way to increase attachment to the Lord, be completely free from all material desires. So here this is recommended also in this Padilla, that the whole idea is to fix the mind upon Krishna in a spirit of devotion. So in order to fix the mind upon Krishna, then we have to see Krishna. Unless we see Krishna somehow or another, then it's not possible to fix the mind upon him. Therefore, 5,000 years ago, Krishna came personally in order to eradicate all kinds of speculations about what Krishna looks like. He personally came and displayed his pastimes for 125 years on this planet, or maybe a little bit more. I think it was 120 years when he was at the Battle of Kurukshetra, and then he was here for maybe 150 years, another 30 years or 35 years after that, before Krishna left the planet. So during that time, Krishna's pastimes were recorded, including his name, form, quality, and activities. That way, one doesn't have to speculate upon Krishna. And within the Vedic literature, there's also a description about the deities, what the different deities are and how to install them. In this way, there is not only theoretical knowledge about Krishna, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we're his servants, but as it's mentioned here, we have a practical opportunity to serve him. Because to hear constantly that we're Krishna's servants is theoretical knowledge, but then to practically do some service to Krishna, that's practical knowledge. So Prabhupada mentions here, especially the householders should install the deities, but of course that means that the householders And near a temple, Prabhupada didn't want householders, everyone to install their own little deity or big deity in their temple, in their house, and therefore neglect the worship of the deity in the temple. That all the householders especially should come to the program and worship the deity. For the traveling mendicants, then they're supposed to have the capacity to fix the mind of the deity in their heart just by remembering him. But for the householders who busily engage in so many different affairs, that they may not have an opportunity to hear and chant about Krishna so much, but they get the same benefit just by coming to the temple and seeing the form of the deity. Without even understanding, without even reading, without engaging, but just by seeing the deity, they get transcendental benefit. Prabhupada said, seeing the deity and seeing the deity, and eventually they'll remember the deity. Anything we see constantly, then we'll remember them. Is that right, Prince City?
Remember.
But of course, there has to be a certain attitude also. If the attitude is service, then our remembrance, of course, will be more intense of devotion. So, here it says that there are so many different programs for the deity worship. Prabhupada came to the Western world. He especially wanted in the Western world that we perform the deity worship very often. He said we're not a poor country. Just like in India, many times we can go to the temples nowadays, and many of the temples are not very nicely maintained. Some of them, the pujaris, are trying to maintain the deities, trying to do regular worship. And some of them, Prabhupada said, that they're being completely neglected. That you go to the temple, the only thing, the only other visitors are the dogs and monkeys in the temple. Prabhupada gave one lecture about Galagraha and Vigraha, where he mentioned that the deity is supposed to be Vigraha, we're supposed to be worshipping the deity, because by such worship, we are actually serving Krishna directly. And by such service, our hearts will become illuminated in Krishna consciousness. But if we take the worship of the deity as something like Galagraha, means the pain in the neck, that my rascal spiritual master, he installed his deity, now he's left, and now I have this pain in the neck, I have to worship the stone idol. That why should I bother serving him so intently? That better to give him some garbage flower garland, some leftover flower garland, and maybe he'll be satisfied with it. Seeing that in Vrindavan somehow or another, even during Prabhupada's presence, it wasn't the standard of deity worship had gone down, and that the flower garlands offered were not very nice. And so Prabhupada was complaining that even in my presence, they're offering these garbage flowers to Krishna. So, these flowers are nice. But what to speak of my absence? So Prabhupada said that you may negligently serve Krishna, and he won't protest. He won't say, what are you doing? You know, can't you give me some better service? No, he won't protest. His protest is that you'll go to hell. So Krishna may not protest. Sometimes if he's merciful enough, he may protest. That's like Pundarik Vidyaniti. He saw that every year when the Jagannath deities offered him garments, sometimes they don't take the starch out. They don't wash out the starch. I guess in India, I don't know what they use starch for. Starch makes it more...
All the new cloth is starch. The dotis is like stiff, you know, starch.
What is that? What do they put starch in for?
It looks nicer, you know, it's flat.
So they offered Lord Jagannath starched outfits. They didn't wash out the starch. So Pundarik Vidyaniti became a little disturbed seeing it. So Lord Jagannath didn't protest immediately, but in his dream that night, Lord Jagannath and Baladev came and started to slap his cheeks, and they turned red from the slapping. But most of us are not on the level of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, like Pundarik Vidyaniti, who is an incarnation of Krishna's father. What's that? But he mentions that in the purport of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's father actually. The relation between King Vrishabhanu and Krishna was out of a paternal relationship. So, at least Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually not Krishna, but I guess Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, that was their relationship. He's an incarnation of Radha and Krishna. So we may not be fortunate enough to have to do some mistaken deity worship and the deities come in our dream at night and slap us on the cheeks. Even during if we were awake and Krishna came back down and kicked us with his lotus feet, I don't think any of us would protest. He kicked me. All the service I rendered to you, now you kicked me. I'm leaving. No, the idea is that it is an opportunity for the conditioned soul to practice devotional service to Krishna, and not only practice, but it is actually real service because Krishna and Krishna's deity are non-different. When the Brahmin went to ask the witness Gopal to come and give testimony that this old elder Brahmin had promised me his daughter in marriage, now you must come as a witness, because if you don't come, you'll be sinful. But if you know something and you don't testify, then you'll get sinful reactions for it. So the Gopal deity said, well, I'd like to come, but it's not possible for a deity to walk. So the young Brahmin said, well, if a deity can talk, he can probably also walk. So the Gopal deity thought about it and said, he's probably right, and then he would go. And he accompanied the Brahmin for so many miles, so many, many, many kilometers to go from the place in, I guess it was in near Bihar or Orissa, all the way to Vrindavan. Or to go from Vrindavan all the way down to Bihar. Many, many kilometers. And he walked. And at that time there weren't any trucks. It's not that he hired a truck and transported the deity down. But the only way the deity could have made it down there is by walking himself. So such incidences are historical records, the fact that Krishna is not simply a deity made out of stone. Of course, if we treat Krishna like a stone, then Krishna will remain a stone forever. And if we treat him like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he reveals himself in proportion to the sincerity of worship of the devotee. So much so that if one is very sincere, very intently engaged in service to Krishna, then Krishna will himself personally talk to the devotee. It says that there was one devotee named Pradyumna Brahmachari, who was later named Nrisimha Brahmachari, that he was offering Krishna three different places of prasadam, one for Lord Jagannath, one for Lord Chaitanya, and one for Lord Nrisimhadeva. Actually, it was said that he was such an advanced worshiper that Lord Nrisimhadeva was always in his heart talking to him. Lord Nrisimhadeva would personally talk to him from his heart. But he was offering three plates of prasadam, and when he was meditating, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from Jagannath Puri and ate all the three plates. So Nrisimha Brahmachari said that, it's all right, my lord, that you eat your plate, but why are you eating Lord Nrisimhadeva's plate too? Why are you eating Lord Jagannath's plate? They won't get any food to eat. You can eat your own plate, but why are you taking everyone else's plate? So later on he found out that actually Lord Nrisimhadeva and Lord Jagannath are actually expansions of Lord Chaitanya, and that they were actually satisfied just by Lord Chaitanya's eating. So here it mentions also that the householders should engage in deity worship for their own purification, and they should train others and also how to properly worship the deity that the spiritual master mentions, but not simply to meet family expenditures. So this is common in India, that they show the deity, you know, someone comes and they offer enough money, then they open the curtain and show the deity, and then they're supposed to give a certain amount of money. So the deity has become more or less like a collection agency to the marriages of their of the Pujaris or the whatever. So they can get their daughter married, therefore they show the deity, they maintain the deity worship to some extent. And this has become more or less the common practice in India. That is because the household deity is there more or less is to help maintain the family. So Prabhupada didn't want that, that we should become a business. Because here at Radhadesh, I think the deities are the biggest collectors. Isn't that right? One of the biggest collectors.
The only one.
What's that?
Practically the only one.
So no one should complain that Radha and Krishna aren't doing anything here. Just by being beautiful, they're collecting so much money. Of course, if their pujaris are serving them, they're making them more attractive. But Prabhupada warns about these things, although it may seem like something far removed, but as we can see that as time goes on and Krishna consciousness is established in the West, we'll begin to see these things also. That people will establish deities just to maintain their livelihood. And here it mentions also that one should go on pilgrimage not simply to on a sightseeing. I think we begin to see this in ISKCON, that the Westerners, they go on sightseeing tours. Make films and bring them back and show everyone. More or less, not so much into Krishna consciousness, but all the different spots in India. Just like young people go, or people go to Niagara Falls to see the waterfalls, so people will go and see different spots that are interesting in India. So probably one against that. But the whole idea is to see the forms of the Lord and worship them in the different holy places. Remember the Lord's pastimes in those holy places. And not simply to think that we're going around, we went around Braj, we went around Govardhan Hill, and now we've done our Vrat, and now we're purified. No, the idea of going around, walking around Govardhan Hill, for instance, is while we're walking around Govardhan Hill, to think of Govardhan Hill, and then naturally to think about the different pastimes that Krishna and his cowherd boys, Krishna and the cows, Krishna and the gopis enacted on Govardhan Hill. It's not simply to go for a nice long walk. Simply to go to the holy place is to remember those pastimes there. And this way our mind becomes filled with Krishna consciousness. The advantage of going to India is not that India is somehow or another a holy spot, but it's made holy by the fact that the Lord and his incarnations have appeared there, and his different great devotees have appeared there, and have enacted transcendental pastimes. And when one goes to such an atmosphere, then it becomes easier to think of those pastimes. Otherwise, if one lives in even Vrindavan, but he acts like an ordinary materialist, then Prabhupada said that actually they're not living in Vrindavan. They're living in hell. That their destination is not to go back to the spiritual world, as they engage in activities, with sinful activities in the holy Dham. Their destination is to become one of the species of life in the holy Dham, the lower species of life, like the hogs and dogs. So one should understand that the holy place is made holy, especially by the Lord's appearances there and the great devotees enacting transcendental devotional service there. And if we go there, then the advantage there is the opportunity to render service in the holy Dham, and therefore come to a higher platform of devotion of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada also, he mentions that in one of his lectures, in one lecture he gave about this particular verse, that the Lord actually has eyes. That it is not like the Mayavadis say that we worship the deity until the point when we become the deity. And after we become the deity, we throw the deity away. Sometimes in India, they have these big Kali food festivals. I don't know if anyone has ever seen. In Vrindavan, sometimes you see these big processions with the Kali Durga on a palanquin. So after this big festival, they do, they take the deity and they throw him into the Jamuna. (Laughter) And what did the impersonalists do? They worship the deity, they say, worship the deity, until you become the deity, and then you throw the deity away, because you've already become the deity. Just like you take the ladder, and you walk up the ladder into a building, then you throw the ladder away so you can't descend anymore. So they think the deity is like a crutch. You walk up the ladder with the deity, you walk up to a higher level of consciousness, and when you get to the highest level, you throw the deity away so you don't have to descend anymore. So this is caused as demoniac. The Mahavadis are commonly known as demons in our estimation. So one has to understand that the actual eyes that are seeing are the spiritual eyes within this body. When the body is dead, the body can't see anymore. That what's seeing is the soul. So the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. And the whole purpose of using the eyes is to see the form of the Lord. And seeing the form of the Lord, we have to understand that this is Krishna's eternal form. Although this body is temporary, and everything in this material world is temporary, but the form of the Lord, especially of the deity, this is an eternal form that's being manifested within the material world in order to give us the opportunity to worship Him. The Lord ascends as the Arsha form, and that probably compares to a post office box. That if you take a, you see in the street so many people putting their mail into a box, and it's being delivered by the postman. So if you think, well, this is very nice, so there's some box that's painted green or red, so let me put a box in front of my house and also paint it green and red, and the postman will come by and pick up my mail too and deliver it. So when they try that, and be surprised that after some time all the mail he put into the box is still there. So one cannot call up the post office and say, what's wrong? I have a box in front of my house that's painted the same color as your box, and the postman is not coming by and picking up my mail. No, because your box is not authorized. So similarly, there are authorized forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by worshiping them according to the authorized process, then our worship will go to Krishna. Of course, this is Krishna in his form, but not that we imagine some form, we imagine some type of worship, and we expect to make some progress. That we make a form of Kali or Durga or Shiva, and then we worship that form, and then we think we're going to make some progress. Of course, the demigods are also can be worshipped by different forms. But if we actually want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and get spiritual benefit, then we have to worship the authorized forms in the authorized manner. So, of course, the essence of all the worship is simply devotion. It's transcendental love for Krishna. Without such love, that everything becomes simply material. Prabhupada in one lecture he was talking about when he was installing Rukmini Dwarkanath, the little deities in Los Angeles in 1969. He said that Sanatan Goswami, he was hanging Madan Mohan within a tree. So at this time Sanatan Goswami had gotten Madan Mohan from a Brahmin in Mathura. He had many children, and he was worshipping his deity just like his son. So because he was such an advanced devotee, that sometimes this deity of Krishna would go out and play with his other children. Sanatana Goswami, he was doing madakari, begging from house to house, and he came to this house, and he was invited in, and he was surprised to see outside with a Brahmin was this deity of Madan Mohan playing. But somehow or another, Madan Mohan became attracted to Sanatana Goswami and asked if he could go stay with him for a while. So the Brahmin objected and said, no, I don't want to give you up. But Madan Mohan convinced him. He said, you have so many children. Sanatana Goswami has no one to stay with. So you should let at least one of your children go, you know, and live with him. So I want to go. So the Brahmin was convinced, and Sanatana Goswami said, my dear Madan Mohan, that I'd like you to stay with me, but I have nothing to offer you. I have no house, nothing. He said, Madan Mohan said, I'm sure you could find something. No problem, I'm sure. So he took Madan Mohan, he put him on a tree, on one branch of the tree. So in Vrindavan, Madhukari doesn't mean that you go there and they give you three subjis and rice and dal and chapatis and some sweet on the side. Madhukari means you go door to door and they may give you some roti. Roti means easy way of making chapatis. You take some dough and you make it into a ball and just throw it into the fire. Maybe flatten it out a little bit. No rolling pins, nothing like that. Just throw it into the fire. Big, thick chapati. So Sanatana Goswami, commonly, that's all he had, was one big, thick chapati he begged. And so he's offering that to Sanatana Goswami, to Madan Mohan. So after some time, Madan Mohan became very disturbed. He was sitting in the Brahmin's house, he was offering me sweets and so many things, and now all I'm getting every day is one dry chapati, thick chapati. So he began to complain. So he said, can't you even offer a little salt with the chapati? So Sanatana Goswami said, look, he said, don't complain. Now you want some sweets, now you want some salt, next you'll have for subjis and some sweets. He said, you'll be in, if you become greedy, I'll never be able to satisfy you. So Madan Mohan probably said he had to accept it. Because Sanatana Goswami wasn't just offering this roti, but he was offering it quite lovingly. And then Prabhupada said, what is your value? And what is the value of the things that you have? That the real thing is bhakti, that Krishna kindly takes, that I have no qualification, that I'm rotten and I'm fallen, and then Prabhupada started to cry, but I brought this to you. And then Prabhupada said, that will do, don't be puffed up. Always remember that you're dealing with Krishna, that is my advice to you. Thank you. So the essential thing is to recognize that actually this is not some ritual that we're going through in the temple, simply ritualistically worshipping our idol. But actually this is Krishna, and if it's done in the proper mood of devotion, then one will be able to enjoy such a relationship as Sanatana Goswami was enjoying with Madan Mohan. Of course, in the Western world we're expected to offer at least a little salt with the chapatis. As a matter of fact, later on, one salt merchant was traveling, and his boat, because in those days, salt was quite a valuable commodity. It's not like you go to the store and you get your container of salt. But salt was a valuable commodity. It would have to be sometimes taken from far distances, and therefore one huge boat of salt was being taken down to Yamuna. Yamuna wasn't this little river that we see now, but a much bigger river. There weren't dams at that time, which divided Yamuna and blocked it. But a big river was being taken down, and his boat got stuck on the shore. So, at that time, Sanatana Goswami, who was near where we had the present Madan Mohan temple, and he came down, and the boatman asked for help. So he said, I'll pray to my deity. So he prayed to his deity, and the boat was freed from the shore. Merchant went down with all the salt, and he sold it all, and he came back and he gave the money to Sanatana Goswami, who built the Madan Mohan temple with it and put his deity. But just to see, his deity was complaining about getting some salt, and by his will a huge boatload of salt came, and the deity got the benefit from all the salt. So Krishna is not incapable. So we should especially offer Krishna a little bit of salt with the offering. And try to offer whatever he wants, or else Krishna will arrange it himself. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes.
How can you establish the spiritual command of the mind to also necessary to use also other examples of subjects too?
Is it necessary? What do you mean by necessary? Recommended? No. Everything is in Mayapur and Vrindavan. Well, there are other holy places. It's not that we have to establish them.
So if people want to go visit other holy places, that's also there. But Vrindavan is the whole spiritual world. But we may not be able to realize that. And also Vrindavan and Mayapur are non-different. So our great acharyas, they especially appreciate Vrindavan, where Krishna enacted his transcendental pastimes 5,000 years ago. And Mayapur, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his lila also in the Ganges and in Navadvipa. Of course, sometimes the devotees go and visit Jagannath Puri because also there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his transcendental lila. Or they may go to Ayodhya to visit the place, or Dwarka. But for the devotees following the Gaudiya Sampradaya, especially they're interested in the lila of Gaurinitai and Lord Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So these places are especially recommended because they help us remember this transcendental lila. Of course, when Prabhupada was crying, I'm sure he felt good. Transcendental humility. It's not that you think I have no qualification, I'm riding pole and I think I'll jump off a bridge. No, that humility, one actually feels transcendental ecstasy by deepening his absorption in Krishna. So that's one of the advanced stages of devotional surrender, to always feel meek and humble. Something we can't imitate. First we have to go through accepting everything favorable for devotional service, giving up everything unfavorable, feeling oneself to be protected and maintained by Krishna, having no separate interests outside of Krishna's, then to always feel oneself meek and humble. So that's an advanced stage of devotional service.